Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to a verse in 1 Timothy that I cannot read. There we go. 1 Timothy 6:11. And tonight I'll be talking about battling the good fight. I'm thankful to be an American. I never thought in my lifetime, I've heard other people say this too, that we would see the Supreme Court battle that's about to take place. And I'm excited because I thought, oh, the political arena changed and now it won't happen. But I guess God can do what he wants to do with whoever's in power. And so I'm excited to see that. I'm thankful to be an American where we can fight back. And tonight I want to talk about the spiritual battle. Battling the good fight, we'll read two verses and then pray. And we're in 1 Timothy 6:11. And we're kind of jumping in here where Paul's talking. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And he says, "Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Dear God, we do thank you for being a big God and for the things that you're doing and that you can do if we would put our faith in you. Pray that you would help us, God, to be steadfast in the daily fight in our lives and even the bigger battles that seem to come and go. Pray that you would encourage each person here to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have some things to talk about in battling the good fight. By a way of testimony, I have been going to pastor's family class, and it's been a real, it's impacted my life greatly. And I'll tell you, not specifics, but how you grow up in a Christian home, and you even grow up as a single man listening to good preaching. And I think I was naive that, hey, that sounds like a pretty easy plan, just kind of do these things. And yet, right under your nose, you're missing things. And it just seems like every time I go, something connects the dots. And I'll be honest with you, right now I'm very physically weary just because I've tried to do those things. You go work an 11 or 12 hour shift and you come home and you're the daddy and the radar is on. Even if you're paying a bill, I mean, I got to pay a bill. My wife leaves the mail on the end of the counter. I come home and I do the thing on my phone to pay the bill. And sometimes I don't get very far. I have to go deal with something. And that sounds terrible in some ways, but in another way, it's great because I'm catching it and, you have to go do it. And boy, it's kind of amazing to me how many times you have to do that over and over and over. And sometimes the battles are stupid. All right, if you're a parent, and that's a bad word, I'm sorry. But they are stupid. Like, why are you fighting over a piece of trash? I'm sorry. But you have to go deal with that. And that's the battle that I'm talking about. If you're going to do the right thing, it's day in and day out. It's every week. It's every day, holiday time. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some good times, most certainly. Matter of fact, in devotions, we've been talking about self-control. And as a family, we've starting to loosen up a little bit and enjoy them. They're sitting still, and we're talking about things, and sometimes we get the laughing going. There's an enjoyable part of the fight. But I know that that's the most important thing in my life, and it's a battle, and I feel like it's a big bear that I'm embracing and trying to tackle. So as I was praying about what to preach, God had already directed me long before, and there's a lot about fighting the spiritual battle that we all can glean from. It's not just about raising your children. So I have four simple points. It is a simple sermon, but I hope that the Lord uses it to encourage you. We fight for things. I'm glad that I went to a school that stands up and fights for right. Right? It doesn't matter what's going on out there. The Bible still has the path, and we're still going to follow it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I'm in a church that believes that. They don't just talk about it. We fight for things. There's three enemies: the world system, the devil, and ourself. And the Bible tells us that we can overcome the world through God, and that we can resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. But unfortunately, as I just shared with a child about a month ago, you wake up every day and you have to fight with yourself, right? Because it's our flesh. It wakes up too. Just because I made a good decision and nothing bad's happening doesn't mean that there's not a battle going on. So number one, I want to point out that fighting is necessary. And we can use the word battling interchangeably. Fighting is necessary. So the first part is fighting. A lot of people want the comfort life, right? That's one of the battles with our children. They're looking for, okay, I did that job, now I can go play. Or as a Christian, maybe we go, okay, I did that, now I can coast. And that's not the case. That's just not life. And so fighting is necessary, but it helps us to grow. We ought to look at the battle as a good thing. There's two reasons. Number one, a man said, he was the CEO of JCPenney when it went from, I only know it as the store in the mall, but apparently it was a smaller store, and a man named William Booten was the CEO in the 60s and 70s, and he made it what we kind of know it as today. And this is something that he said: when I hear my friends say they hope their children don't experience hardships that they went through, I don't agree. Hardships make us who we are. You can be disadvantaged in many ways, and one of them can be that you never had to struggle. You know, when we're teaching our kids, I have some things, and some kids have stronger battles than others. And I look at that, I say, God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't even know that. I don't even know how it's going to turn out, to be honest. But I'm doing the best that I can, and I'm praying fervently. And maybe this hardship is something that's going to be a stake for when they're an adult that God can use. I'm not making an excuse for it. I'm just saying sometimes we're like, oh, we want everything to be nice. As a Christian, we want everybody to like us. Pastor talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that if you serve Jesus, people are going to hate you. If you take a stand, somebody's going to hate you. It could be your family, right? I'm going to church now. You're what? What are you, a nut, right? Remember the verses that we just read. It says, God tells us to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, meekness. And then it says, fight the good fight of faith, right? Because when you start doing the right thing, that's when the fight starts coming. When I see people come and I get excited, they're going to be faithful. Yeah, the most important step is the first step, right? They've stepped out. But almost the next important step is the second step, because now you're developing a habit. It wasn't just, well, I tried it out and I don't know. It was pretty good, right? You need to have faith to do it on a regular basis. And when it talks about fight the good fight of faith, it's a good fight. It's not a contentious fight. I'm not better than my family member because I'm making a decision. I'm just trying to follow God. It's the right kind of fight, right? There is the wrong kind of fight. We see that sometimes, sadly, in churches. They fight over selfish and prideful things. But here God is telling us, fight the good fight. It's necessary because it helps us grow, but also it makes us look to God. I look in the family, many of us with children here. We're not fighting with our family. We're fighting for our family. Who are the enemies of that? Me? I'm the dad, right? Me? What do you mean by that? When I come home from an 11-hour shift, I would rather sip on a Coke or a cup of coffee, but it's time to walk in the door and be the dad. That's the fight with self. I'm tired, right? It's especially when it's cold and dark. You come home, wow, but it's time to be the dad. So if I lose the battle, it's probably me. So what do we have to do? We have to fight the good fight. We We have to make that decision to say every day, no matter if I'm happy or sad, no matter if I feel like it or not, I got to fight the good fight. I got to fight for my family. I got to make sure that I discipline everything I catch and even look for things, right? Can't just let it happen. So number one, we have it makes us look to God about our family. When I was praying for a church, I wanted to go to a church that was going to challenge my kids. Now, I was taught this, but it was also in my heart, too, that the extracurricular activities put something in you. And I'm not just trying to preach or make illustration, but I wonder, maybe we'll say it that way, I wonder if I would be standing up here if I hadn't played soccer in high school. Wait, Mr. Mike, that's not a verse. That's odd. No, I'll tell you why. Because when you go exercise by yourself, when you get tired, you might push yourself a little bit, but eventually, like, wow, I'm tired. But when you're out there in Missouri in the middle, you know, some people joke and call it misery. Well, in the summertime, it is, because it's 95 with 95% humidity. And guess when soccer season starts? 3 weeks before school does, in August. And I was out there in that field, running up and down, sweating. And coach didn't let you get a drink, right? And you ran, and you practiced. You kicked I thought we were here to play soccer. Where's the soccer balls? Why are we running and laying on the ground, holding our legs up for 30 seconds, right? But the coach was trying to instill something in us. And I remember that it was time to get a drink. All right, we've been here for an hour. Let's go get a drink. And we go, and some of the grass had fallen in the water. Boy, you're so thirsty, you didn't care. Boy, everybody's dunking their cup. But I remember coming home from soccer practice, tired but feeling good. Because my body went somewhere that I didn't think it could go. I didn't think I could do all that, but my coach made me. I wanted to be part of the team. And I kept going, and I ended up playing basketball. Same scenario, on the blue line. And you do these things back and forth. And eventually you start to see, wow, I used to not be able to make a basket, and now I score 4 points in a game. Wow, I'm improving. When you start winning games and you didn't hit the winning shot, but you were part of it. Maybe you were the defensive guy. But that all came because you were grunting it out in practice. And I'm just saying that to say your flesh likes to coast and have the easy way. So when there's struggles, it teaches you something about yourself. It makes you face yourself and say no to your flesh. It doesn't make you spiritual, but it gives you that grit. When I was praying about coming to a church, I wanted a church that challenged. I was like, at least they got to have music, maybe sports, but music for sure, because you can serve God with that. I want them to be challenged. And of course, God led me here, and that's here, and I'm thankful for that. It builds some character. And a coach can make you do something maybe your parents wouldn't succeed as well at, right? Because you get in trouble when you get in trouble at home. But a coach can make you run laps and push yourself. When I was in college, I decided to go ahead and try soccer there too. And one day we had mental toughness practice. And I was like, boy, I'm not ready for this mental tough. I thought it was already mentally tough, right? I'm struggling here. Nope. And I remember yelling at the guy next to me because I had never been pushed that hard in my life before. And we're running and no stops, no breaks. Just run, everybody down, and going through it. Again, I say, it was because somebody pushed me further than I thought I could go. The contrast to that is when we look at Christianity, right? A lot of people are looking for the cozy life. Serve on a Saturday, right? We look for that comfort. And that's just our human inclination. When we work hard, sometimes we think we work hard, or we do work hard, and God has a little bit more for us to do. We have to fight the good fight. So when I come home as a dad, I got to grit it out and say, all right, I already made this decision. Everything I catch is going to be dealt with. Now, we talked about the family. What about souls? There are a lot of strongholds, right? I have some guys at work, and they go to church at you know where. And they don't like to talk about things very often because they don't like to be contentious. But they're going to go to hell. I want to talk to them. I don't know how to talk to them. So I pray. And guess what? conversations do come up. One day, a guy kind of hinted that I was a religion, and you know, it wasn't said in a hateful way, but just kind of like you think you know type of way. And I said, no, we are not a religion. Everybody that goes to heaven, it's not a religion. It's because of a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And two of them got to hear me say that. So that's a start, amen. But it's a stronghold. I've been praying, God, shake something up. Not because I'm right and they're wrong, but because the cost is great. It's their soul for eternity. And they're sincere. So the fight is on. Fight the good fight of faith. The fight is necessary. Number two, fighting. The fight is never ending. 1 Corinthians 15:31. It's never ending. It doesn't mean that there isn't happy times and hard times. They do change. There are seasons. But when it comes to our flesh, as I told you, I told my child the other day, guess what? You don't feel like doing right? Welcome to life. Because when you're the mom and the dad, you're going to have to say no to your flesh. When you're the grandpa and the grandma, you're going to have to say no to your flesh. Guess till the day you die, you're going to have to die daily. And that doesn't go over well, does it? That sounds pretty difficult. But embrace it. It's the battle. I die daily. Now, what does dying daily mean? It means that we get up and it's very simple, actually. We put God first. God, today, in my prayer time, I put you first. When I walk out of this door, I want to make decisions like you want me to make them. And you go through the day. And actually, it's very wonderful. It really is. Remember the soccer illustration? You hate the practice, but you love winning, right? And that's Christianity. You might feel like it's a grind at first. I remember when I first started to read the Bible because I was supposed to be the right kind of Christian. Meaning, I read it before because Awana's challenged me to read it, right? Or we were having read through the Bible in fifth grade. But when I started to read it, okay, God, I'm going to read it so you speak to me. And then I got that verse, right? It jumped, like, oh, that's what they mean when they say it jumped out at you. I mean, it was just for real for me, like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Whoa, God wants to answer my prayers. And he said, that's simple. But it was great because it was personal. When I was 18 years old, I didn't really know how to pray. And I was playing tennis at a resort. There was a couple other games, but we were out there and it was a Missouri day. It was hot. And I said, let's go. I'm going to go up there and start whacking some tennis balls, get ready for you guys. And I went to go get a drink and the water was terrible tasting. Whatever they put in to purify it tasted like soap. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. Well, I guess I'll go play. And as I was walking across the field, now you might think this is silly, but to me it was a miracle. Okay. So I'm walking across the field and a verse that I had read came to my head that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That God clothes the field and takes care of the birds. How much more he would take care of you? I'm like, okay, let's try it. God, that water was nasty. It's hot and I'm thirsty. Will you get me a drink? Well, I just prayed it because God says he'd do that kind of a thing. I'm 18 years old and I walk over and by the tennis court was a Pepsi machine. And I'm like, oh, maybe God would like to provide me a drink. So you say, soda's bad for you. Yeah, but when you're thirsty, Pepsi works, right? Okay. So I went up there, and I didn't have any money, and I pressed the button, and nothing happened. And I kind of banged on the machine, and I pulled the lever, and 50 cents fell out. Now, back then, 50 cents was the price of a pop. I have no idea what it is today. A dollar or something. But I went to go put the money in, and clumsy me, I dropped it. It fell down between the little thing. And to hurry the story up, I crawled under there and found more money. And I ended up with $1.50. So I got a pop, and now I can buy my friend and my brother a pop because we were all thirsty. And that was just God saying, I can not only take care of you, but I can take care of anybody I want to. And to me, that was just the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. because God answered my prayer. It was real. It was personal. And whenever we're talking about the never-ending fight, we have to die daily. It's not a bummer, right? When we die daily and we give ourselves to God, he wants to do bigger things than that, right? If you're new here, listen to the story of this church. God, the building, right? God just laid it in our lap because he's good. And now things are happening. People's lives are not just because of the building, but there's the good, the real good stuff. People are getting right with God and coming and getting saved. And God has more that he wants to do. Isn't that exciting? That God wants to? They sit up there going, all right, let him ask me. I'm ready. Right? To me, that's the untapped goodness of God. There's so much more. So when we say the fight is never ending, it's not a negative thing. We just get up and we die daily. And number two, we have the fight is never ending until the day that we die. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." One day, that's it. One day we die, that's when the fight is over. So we look at that fight is never ending. That means we have to make a decision. That's not kind of like come and go. Let's look at number three. Fighting is not easy. The hardest thing I've ever done is raise children. The second hardest thing I ever do was finish college. It was I just didn't put my ducks in a row the right way, and I finished, but it was a struggle. But more difficult than that is raising children. It's a day, and we get 18 or 20 years to do it, right? You don't get to start at the end because you don't win, right? But looking at the fighting is not easy. Just because it's not easy doesn't mean that it's not worth fighting for. I mean, it's my family, right? I appreciate people that help out. So when I say this, I'm not saying it in a negative way. But those are my kids, right? When they succeed or fail, it's how did God use me, right? It isn't anybody else's fault. But those are my kids. That's my flesh and blood. And I love sitting in my, I have a big chair. And I bought it because my kids like to sit with me. And four out of the five were sitting on my lap and we were talking. And but those are my kids. They're worth fighting for, right? The next phase in life is when they graduate and to see them. And I pray for them. They've heard me pray it. God, I want them to serve God because they've decided to, right? Not just because I'm making them. And I look forward to serving God with them. We do it now on the bus. Yesterday we were canvassing. My kid's like, can we go canvassing? Yep, we're going to go. And we pass out some tracts together. But I look forward to when they're older and we get to do that and there's a little more, they're older with me. When it comes to fighting, it's not easy. And I think that's where some people, they look for the comfort zone. Like, well, they're not, you look at all the negatives, right? Well, they're not watching R-rated movies and they're not. And so we're doing okay, but you're not pointing them anywhere. And so when it comes to, because, you know, to point them somewhere or to raise the standard, you have to hold it there. And that's exhausting. That's tiring. And it's not easy. And so it's important that we fight the fight for our family. Number two, fighting is not easy when it comes to souls. When I think about this subject, I always go back to Noah. I can't even wrap my brain around it, right? 120 years of preaching God is going to judge us and no converts. My brain cannot wrap around that. I'm 48. So that means about two more lifetimes and seeing nobody come to the Lord. And yet through all that, he was faithful that his family made it to the ark. I mean, that ought to be a challenge to us. Oh, I got it hard. Not harder than Noah. I mean, all of those influences, he could have made excuses, but his family and the wives made it to the ark because he was faithful. Fighting is not easy. Number four, so we have just to recap. Number one, fighting is necessary. Number two, fighting is never ending. Number three, fighting is not easy. And lastly, to win battles in the fight or the battle, we have needs, the needs for fighting. You know, we need to get to that part where we understand God does want to fight for you and with you. When you're saved, God does care. God is looking for you. God is looking for you to call on him. So, think about some difficult things like strongholds. How can I tell a person who has had a religious experience and has a burning in his bosom that he is lost? Well, I could tell him, but he's going to laugh at me. However, God can do it. When we look at the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, how can you tell a person who has given into his lust over and over and he does the abominable thing of hooking up with another man or quote-unquote marrying another man, how can you tell them that he is lost and expect him to get saved, right? What are you going to say? I can't, but God can. And we see evidence of that in 1 Corinthians, where those that had committed that sin were in the church, and such were some of you. When we look at strongholds, it's not, man, we want to go out there and we want to see people go, oh yeah, I want to go to your church, I like your church. But that's not what you usually run into, right? I've had people tell me, that's not for me. Now, I haven't been kicked off the porch or anything, but there's some people that don't appreciate that you're out there, and that just comes with the territory. You're going to get a lot of no's before you get a yes. Okay, the fight is not easy, but the fight is necessary, and the tools that we need is that we go in God's power. So that's number one. What is the tool you need? God's power. I am Mike Simmons, and I am incomplete. And when it comes to preaching, when it comes to raising children and doing things for God, I am incomplete. Cannot make it. But amen that God's grace is sufficient for me. That whatever the battle is, that God can fill in the blanks. Amen that it's not all hopeless. That we live in a terrible day, but right in the middle of all that, God can perform miracles. And so we need God's power. When I go soul winning, it's not so much as what I say, is that I just love that soul and tell him what he needs to hear and God will do the rest. God plants the seeds in those hearts. Number two is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? We have 2 Corinthians 10:4. They're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. Not just God's power, but asking God to do something powerful. God, we have a bus route. And it isn't getting any traction. And sometimes you get these people, and they're like, you almost want to tell them, don't say it, right? I'm going to come to church every Sunday. No, don't say that, because everybody that says that never comes again, right? There seems to be that battle that happens the Sunday afternoon, right? You drop them off there, it's great. You go Saturday, oh, I'm not going to come tomorrow. What happened? What happened to the thing before? Well, there's a spiritual battle going on. And so it isn't what I say or even a gimmick or a prize is that nudge, right? That's to get them to do what they are. Church is a good thing. All right, if you come, we're having a meal. Okay, I'll try it out, right? That's the nudge to get them to come. And so they come, and then God saves their souls, and then they're here for the right reason. But when it comes to that battle, The warfare, there's a spiritual warfare. When we pray on Saturday night, we're praying for the next day because there's a spiritual battle going on. Now, that's the whole thing. We can't see it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It isn't like, guy walking down the street, you need to be in church. No? Pow! Right? There might be some people that would come just to see what would happen next. But, most people go, that church is... That's not the right way to do things. Well, and the truth is, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. All right, we're not here to make people come. We're here to plead with them to come so that they and God can have a personal relationship. They can get saved and grow in the Lord. So the needs that we have for the battle are God's power, a prayer to God, and lastly, your job is to make a decision. Number one, to make a decision not to quit. Not to quit. You might be sitting out there and you're defeated. You could probably point to the instance like, boy, I blew it. I knew I was wrong and I did this. Don't quit. Because all you're doing is writing off that the unpages, the unwritten pages of the rest of your life, right? The rest of your story that's written is going to be a defeated one. Your future hasn't been written yet, right? You can still make a choice. You might have to live with some difficulties and you might have to live with some regret, but why not give God a chance for the rest of your life? You can point to things like, well, I married someone and it was the wrong decision, right? My heart goes out to you. I can't, that's got to be a terrible feeling that you have to live with, right? I don't look down on you, but it happened, right? And you're dealing with that. But at the same time, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of second chances. God still wants to use you for the rest of the days that you have here. So what you do, when you fail, you get back up. A just man, righteous man falls seven times and rises again. You get back up. That's what this church loves to help people, right? People come in here all the time. Some of them looking for just a quick fix. Can I have a little bit of money? Well, hey, we got something else that can fix some other things for eternity, right? We want to help. We want to help people. You're not alone when it comes to people with problems, right? We're all struggling. Some are struggling with different things, but don't quit. Okay, so you come in. I had a friend one time. We lived in one of those houses that it used to be a big house, and they divided it into three apartments. You know, put a bathroom here and there. And so there was four of us guys. We all went to the same church, and he got a truck driving job, which is a good job. But his played with his schedule, and it was irregular. And there would be times that he'd have to spend overnight on a Saturday and miss Sunday church. And there's plenty of truck driving jobs. He could have found something, but that was what he did. And he ended up backsliding and watching some things he shouldn't watch. And I remember him coming and telling me that, Mike, I messed up. Okay, so get right with God. And then he told me that when he walked in the church building, he felt dirty. And I said, amen! And he's like, what? I'm like, well, would you want to go to a church where you walked in and you sinned and you didn't feel dirty? I mean, it sounds like you're in the right place. So the dirtiness just needs to be dealt with, and you need to get cleaned up. And so time went on, and sin got the best of him. Even to this day, he's in and out of, he's got bad friends, the whole thing, drugs, and I saw that he got arrested for something even later in life. And I still believe he's saved, but he gave in to sin. So what could have saved the rest of those miserable days? When he said, when I walk into church, I feel dirty. Then you go forward and you humble yourself and say, not again, and I need some help. Think about all those years, all right? So 1997, 13, 23 years of misery and regret because he didn't make a simple decision. Yeah, it would have been humbling, but he could have had 23 years of good stories to tell. He could have had a lesson learned behind him, but instead it's continuous sin, right? You humble yourself. He quit. Who wouldn't be tempted to quit? What a shameful thing to find yourself into. We all understand that, but he didn't choose God. He chose to take the easy way, which ended up being the hard way. A decision not to quit. Number two, a decision to die daily. We read that verse already, or we quoted that verse, that Paul said, I die daily, right? That means don't rely on ourselves. I think as I look at my friends, right, growing up in church, we had church school, church, a lot of parents were bus captains or had a ministry, and growing up, they knew the right answers. And they would know, if someone ever backed them in a corner, they would say, oh, creation is right and evolution is bad, right? Oh, there is a hell and there is a heaven and you have to be saved. They would all say that. They would stand for it. But then when it came to practical Christian living, because they didn't die daily, right? It was just the right answer. It didn't apply to them personally. So when we look at I die daily, number one, I is personal. You have to make it personal. Pastor has said this many times, right? It isn't about him. It's about what God says. We walk with God. And the second part is that we die. God, I resolve to give my life to you today, right? If you're not reading your Bible, when did you say that day? So then you trusted in yourself. If we're going to fight the good fight and win the battles, then we have to die how often? Number three, we have to die daily, every day. And we talked about that we don't get to stop that battle until we die. And then lastly, you can look at it if you want to, Psalm 42:1. We have a decision not to quit, a decision to die daily, and then a decision to rest in God. Psalm 42:11, I got here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and of my God. Why art thou disquieted within me? The battle is hard and the battle is real, but we hope in God. I am thankful that I go to a church that preaches that God is the answer. Right? It's not our building, our beautiful building. It's not the personality of our pastor. Right? He has godliness. He walks with the Lord. But it's hoping in God. Guess what pastor can't do? He can't be there with me 24 hours a day, right? If he was to guess what my problems was, he could probably pick out a couple. But when I go home, I'm making choices, right? I have to be in connection with God. What should I do about this? Sometimes there's attitudes that pop up. Why? Where did that come from? Did I miss that? What's that? And that's why church is so important, because I'm blind in so many areas, right? We need somebody to point things out to us. It's why it's good to have good friends. Good friends that can come go, hey, you know what? You see this? No. I'm missing that, aren't I? Oh, boy. Right? You go home, you pray. But it's a personal thing that we hope in God. Right? Can I give you the we hope it never happens instance? What if this church goes wayward? Then what? Oh, no. Well, if you're hoping in your church and the good music and the preaching, right? Now you're disconnected, right? As a godly person, these people that are in other churches, right? They can discern, hey, I need to get out of here. That's not the case here. But I'm just saying, why is it that important? Because God leads us through anything, right? Pastor can't be there for everything. He's there, right? We can go to him. We should go to him, get some advice, talk to him about some things, especially when it's a big decision. But at the end of the day, we hope in God. Because I guarantee you, God can get really specific. God, what about my children? Pew! Well, and pastor didn't have to tell me that. God did it. And I'm not talking about audible if you're not understanding that. But God impresses on your heart and helps you. Wow, your brain is like alive. It connects the dots like, oh my, right? Why? Because we hope in God. We rest in God. So God is there with his goodness, fighting the battle. And the most glorious thing is when we have that victory. Man, I'm kind of looking forward to watching God do some bigger things, especially in my family. I'm serious. Feels like a big bear. And we fight the good fight, right? We don't quit. We write, God, you got to help me. Can't get this whipped. And it's a daily thing. So I hope that you're encouraged. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but I'd rather have God's yoke than the devil's yoke, right? It's easier. God's burden is light. Let's pray. Dear God, we know that there is a spiritual battle, and in order to see victory in our lives, it's a daily thing. Lord, I don't know what heart you spoke to. I just trust that you work in hearts and that I've preached what you told me to. And I pray, God, that you would help us as a church to continue to go forward and stand for what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.